This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Franklin for you. That'll wake you up in the morning, won't it? You better think. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. Speaking of freedom, I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy, Big Ed Davis, we thank you very much for joining us. It is Monday, December the 6th. Indeed, we are going to be talking in a few minutes with Kelly Vlahos of the Quincy Institute, and we're going to talk about a disturbing poll. It shows America's trust in the military is dropped to under 50%. When was the last time you heard that? So we'll take a look at that with her. And is Joe Biden taking his eye off the world map? While Russian troops amass at the Ukrainian border, China may be building a military base in West Coast Africa. They are really on the move, are they not? We will get some thoughts on that, a few other things, with the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceresi, a little bit later in the show. And the compact of married couples with children in the house has reached an all-time low. An all-time low. We're going to take a look. What is going on with the nuclear family? We'll take a look. And in our Ultimate Top 10, a good one. The top 10 sports that give athletes the highest paychecks. What are the sports? We'll take a look at that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. For my money, the best place for men to get a haircut in all of Tampa Bay. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop. And don't forget Good Morning Clearwater, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy Allen, let them start off your day, the latest in news, entertainment. They were talking about gambling today. I think Paul's a bit of a gambler. That's my impression anyway. Anyway, Good Morning Clearwater. Don't miss it. All right. Well, on the day before Pearl Harbor's 80th anniversary, the sad news of Bob Dole's passing, World War II hero. He was a presidential candidate several times. He was 98 years old. I'm sure you heard a lot about him if you were watching any television yesterday. Great sense of humor. I think he was always very bitter about the wounds that he received, but he was able to keep it inside of him. He's remembered as a statesman, cornerstone in Washington, D.C. He joined the Army in 1942, obviously a war hero. He served in the effort in Italy. And that's where he, of course, got that injury. It was a very severe injury. He almost died. He was part of the 10th Mountain Division, which was composed, by the way, of mountain climbers. They were all good mountain climbers. And they were sent into the mountains during the war. Those were sort of like those Alpine mountains there. But anyway, we remember him today for all of the years of service and lots of tributes on this day before. It's hard to believe it, I guess, the 80th anniversary of Pearl Harbor and the start of World War II, as far as the United States was concerned. Things have really changed since then. By the way, economists have been surveyed and are predicting that annual inflation now is going to remain above 2% over the next 3 years. That's not good news. That's not good news. This is a result of, of a lot of things. They say rising wages, strong demand for goods and services. Usually inflation means that you've got less product, therefore more bidding for the product, right? The less you got of something, the more it will cost you. The overall consumer price index, they say, will rise 6%. 6% year over year. That's not good. Actually, this is for this quarter, the fourth quarter of 2021, that it's risen 6%, compared to 5.1% as their forecast. So we're going to, apparently, if you believe them, we're going to have this this high price situation for a while. I think most notably people see it, of course, in gasoline and food prices, because that's what you, you know, let's face it, 90% of the time you're buying anything, it's a food product, right? And you're driving all the time to get there. So we've got a lot of things going on these days. One of the things that Democrats are very concerned about is how ineffective Joe Biden is, bringing the whole party down. Most Democrats are worried that Biden's flagging polling numbers, with his approval hovering in the 30s, will lead to a thrashing at the ballot box. They're worried that they're going to lose both the House and the Senate, and the Republicans are going to gain in a year from now. Even the party's own polling has a president in the red. A poll from Democrats' campaign arm earlier this month shows the president down in the battleground districts across the country, with 52% of voters disapproving of the job that he's doing. So they're bracing for big time trouble. Their proposed antidote is finish the battle over legislation as quickly as possible. I guess they think that they can get there and pass this Build Back Better, that somehow it's going to improve Biden's. I don't think so, because people aren't going to notice anything. They're not going to notice anything. It's like the infrastructure bill. You're not going to notice anything. All that money that's being passed from one side to the other. By the way, you know, the infrastructure of our country is done much better at the state and local level anyway. Why should we have the federal government involved in the infrastructure when we can have the states do it? You know? There's not much sense to it. We send money to Washington, then they dole it back out to others, to the different states. And, of course, that's where all the corruption comes in, right? People deciding which is which. You know, okay, we'll give you this much and we'll give them this much and the whole bit. So Democrats have got a big problem. Every time Biden shows up on television, they got a big problem. They have a very big problem. Now there's this situation with both Russia and China, and in Russia, they are amassing troops on the Ukraine border. It looks like there's trouble coming. What can we do, right? Senator Joni Ernst was on television yesterday. She was on, I saw her on Fox News Sunday. And she said that there are possibly enough senators that can override Biden's approval of the pipeline that Russia wanted to connect with Germany, override it and threaten them with it. Tell them, we'll shut that down. We'll shut that down. The Nord Stream 2 pipeline, if you get over there and invade the Ukraine. So that might be a tool. Anyway, let us take our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a disturbing poll showing America's trust in the military under 50%.
Mm-hmm. This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back on a Monday and delighted to have Kelly Vlahos join us. She is a senior advisor at the Quincy Institute. And we're going to talk with Kelly about this is kind of a depressing thing, but the trust in our military by Americans is down under 50%. In fact, she's written a piece for the American Spectator on this, and it's titled Our Military in Decay, Facing Some Hard Truths. Kelly, welcome. This is very depressing news, especially right now with all of the things going on, I guess, with China and with Russia.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you think about it, you know, of all the institutions that the American people have lost faith in, you know, they have maintained a trust in the military year over year over year. But then beginning last year, those numbers started going down. And what I found, and this, I personally did not find, but the Ronald Reagan Foundation and Institute does a yearly poll on Americans' trust in the military. So we're not talking an anti-military organization here doing the polling. They found only 45% of Americans have a great deal of trust in the military. That's down from 70%.
Oh my goodness!
2 years ago, and down from 56% in March, because they did a half-year polling on this. And so, you know, so at a time when Americans have no faith in their institutions, which is, you know, behind and undergirding a lot of the political chaos and divisiveness and feelings of betrayal by the government, you know, the military actually stood tall and stood firm, and we're starting to see the erosion there. And, you know, I believe that there are several reasons for that.
Yeah. You know, when you see your own military like this dropping to under 50%, because for years and years, we've always, you know, no matter what people might think of politicians, the military was always thought of in very high terms. Yeah. It seems to me that if anything indicates that our country is coming apart, mm-hmm. it is this with the military. Your thought?
The military didn't do itself any favors. And what I write about for the American Spectator is that after 20 years of war, you have members of the military. This is key, because I feel like there's always been like half the population, whether you call them the Democrats versus Republicans, liberals versus conservatives, that have been critical of the war and they've been critical of the military. But you have members of the military coming home after 20 years and seeing that all of their efforts were for naught. And they are blaming the military leadership for failing to have a better strategy, for lying to the American people about the actual conditions on the ground in many cases. I've talked to several veterans. I'm talking conservatives. I'm not talking about Democratic anti-war veterans, which there are plenty, but, you know, conservatives who say, listen, I was over there several tours, and that war was not winnable, but I was hearing the opposite from our senior leadership when they were on Capitol Hill trying to get more money to protract this war. And I lost friends. My family has suffered from multiple deployments and being alone stateside. And for what? And then you see Stuart Scheller, who was basically thrown in the brig for going out on YouTube after the Afghan withdrawal, for telling the truth and demanding answers from the senior leadership. And believe me, he's not the only one. So I think what you're seeing here is not just the regular critics of the military. You're seeing military families and the rank and file very distressed over the last 20
years. Right. Now, we maintain our love for the people themselves that fight. It's the it's the leaders that we're talking about with this poll.
Right.
You know, after the Vietnam War, there was much the same feeling of betrayal by our leaders, that they had let our troops kind of linger in Vietnam with no real plan to win the war. Was that the same thing with Afghanistan?
I do feel that way. I feel that there, you know, all along there were smart voices out there saying this war cannot be won militarily. But you have this entrenched blob, this swampy establishment, foreign policy establishment in Washington, that insisted that we needed to stay. We needed to nation build. We needed to pour more money, billions, if not trillions of dollars, and keep rotating our troops in and out. And I cannot believe the National Guard's participation in this. You know, almost half of the active duty over the last 20 years has been National Guard being activated. And so you're talking about citizen soldiers for 20 years, many of them multiple deployments. You know, when they, you know how difficult it is to keep a job under those circumstances and your family having to be living in this uncertainty, you know, they're looking back and going, well, what was it all for? And that's going to hurt recruitment at some level. Now, it's different because obviously Vietnam was a draft. So there was a different feeling of malaise, and it was much more difficult for the military to recruit after that. And we all know the stories about what the military looked like in the 70s. So, it's still an all-volunteer force, but they are offering huge bonuses right now because they know that, you know, young men and women are looking like, is this something that I want to spend the next, 10 years of my life? This uncertainty of going to wars that nobody can really explain. They don't go anywhere. They go on forever. We have 900 troops in Syria right now. I can't find anybody on the street to tell me why.
Yeah.
But our poor men and women are out there like sitting ducks with no strategy.
We're talking again with Kelly Vallejo. She is senior advisor at the Quincy Institute. And by the way, she was also formerly the executive director of the American Conservative organization, and she's written a piece called Our Military in Decay, Facing Some Hard Truths. It's in the American Spectator. I was watching the Secretary of Defense. He was on there over at the Reagan, speaking of the Reagan Foundation. I think they're doing something over at the Reagan Presidential Library, or we're doing something. And he was being asked some questions. I think there has been a loss of confidence. And there's this thing about the wokeness, I guess you might say. It's even permeated into the military. Don't you think that would cause people to lose faith as well?
Yeah, and I was thinking about this before I got on the phone with you because I had a feeling you were going to ask about this. Because I feel like whoever looks at this poll, you know, sees what they want to see. So I'm thinking that people on the left are looking at this poll and they're saying, well, that's because that there were all these members of the military who were involved in January 6th, and that there are white supremacists in the rank and file. And then others might look at it and say, well, they didn't really like the reaction that General Milley and General Austin, or Secretary of Defense Austin, had after January 6th blaming members of the military for being white supremacists and saying that we have to root out all of this in our ranks, and having General Milley go up on Capitol Hill and talk about how he has a book on critical race theory at his bedside that he's reading, and that he's got to learn more about his, you know, the white hate or whatever he said. So I think that there's two sides definitely playing into this poll. But, I mean, think of it, 45%. I mean, if the country is as divided as we know it is when we have one election after another, we have under 50% of Americans saying they don't trust the military. That means there's a lot of conservatives as well as your usual detractors in that poll. So I think that there are different reasons, but I think you put your finger on it, that people are a little concerned, that many people are concerned about this sort of the military being used as sort of like as social experiment, you know, as
indeed,
a reflection of all of the identity politics that are going on in the rest of the world or the rest of the American climate.
Yeah. You know, we're busy with identity politics, and it's the same thing in education. You can almost say we're losing sight of what we're all about in education. I think we're losing sight of what we're all about in the military with this kind of thing. I mean, I can see why people's confidence have dropped. You've even cited, I think, a Gallup poll came out this year, which 37% of Americans have a great deal of confidence in the military, or quite a lot. That's not very good. We used to have that used to be in the 60s and 70s.
Right, right. And I think it reflects the 20 years of failed war policy, but it does reflect current politics. I mean, there are people who, you know, personally, I have no problem with the military addressing sexual assault.
Of course.
You know, there are serious issues. There always has been racial issues and integration issues. I get that. But I feel as though that the more that this becomes a platform for some of the identity politics, that you're again putting people into blocks and tribes and in an organization that needs absolute cohesion, you know, to maintain the national defense. And that's an issue. I mean, I get it that Milley goes up there. This is another thing that I think is playing into. It's the over-politicization of the military leadership. And I think Americans aren't stupid. They see Milley one minute taking pictures with Trump. They see him another minute bad-mouthing Trump in several books and then going up on the Hill and talking about critical race theory. They're not stupid. They think, they look at him and they see this guy is politically maneuvering himself.
Mm-hmm.
And it was no different than David Petraeus, you know, 15 years ago, politically maneuvering himself. And they're tired of these celebrity generals out there, you know, engaging in books with Bob Woodward and getting contracts for their own books. They have Sam McChrystal out there with his book. He's all over the liberal mainstream media, you know, and they're sitting there going, yeah. Meanwhile, we have guys coming back with PTSD. We have families broken up. You know, they're still sending people on multiple deployments. So they're like, you know, they're not supposed to be political. And you lose trust when you have generals out there picking sides, basically.
Yeah. Do you think, Kelly, that we're ever going to kind of get back our military to what it used to be? I guess that will never occur. I don't know even how you would describe it, but, you know, I don't know. There have been so many things that have influenced the changes that we see in our military, you know, of course, since World War II and the like. Anyway, do you think there's any chance we're going to, at least in the eyes of Americans, that we will, that the trust will be regained?
You know, I don't know, and I wouldn't want to say it needs to be tested by another war. I'd rather not have any more wars. I do think that there is a good argument for taking a hard look at the number of generals, the senior officer class. I've you know, talked to many very much smarter than I military historians, that we have an unusual number of generals and four stars. And not only that, the way that they have achieved their ranks often is not by critical thinking or being the best strategist on the block, but putting their head down, playing the game politically, sucking up, you know, this blind fealty to the institution rather than merit. And so you have a lot of senior officers who can't strategize. In part, that's why you've seen the failures of the last 20 years. And we don't need that many generals. We don't need that many combatant commands. And it's gotten very bureaucratic and unwieldy, and for all the wrong reasons. We're not agile. We're not lean. We don't reward the best thinkers, the best soldiers. So, there are obviously better people that you can have on the show to talk about that.
I don't think so. You're making excellent points about that. I agree with you. I mean, lean and mean. It can't get out of its own way anymore.
Right. That's exactly it. It can't get out of its own way. It's an amorphous blob of the military-industrial complex, and it's just gotten too big.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Kelly, thank you so very much for coming on. I recommend that you take a look at what she had to say in the American Spectator, Our Military in Decay, Facing Some Hard Truths. Thanks so much, Kelly.
Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. All right, Kelly Vlahos. Golly, that just makes me depressed when I think about our military. It used to be, you know, if anything, we would we had confidence in our military, and now, no. All right. Hey, is Joe Biden, speaking about our military, is Joe Biden taking his eye off the world map, taking his eye off the world ball? Russian troops amassing at the Ukrainian border, China building a military system in West Coast Africa. We're going to get some thoughts on this. A few other things with the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceraci.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
On a Monday. Thank you so very much for joining us. I'm trying to get the mute off. The mute on our little television in the studio. I don't know if you can hear the feedback in here. For some reason, it ain't going on. Well, we'll figure it out. China may be eyeing its first military base in the Atlantic Ocean. China appears to be eyeing its first permanent military base on the shores of Africa's Atlantic coast. What is going on there? U.S. officials, citing classified American intelligence report, told the Wall Street Journal that Beijing could be eyeing Equatorial Guinea's port city of Bada.
It's the website.
Oh, it's a website. Ed's helping me here. I thought it was the telephone. Thanks, Ed. I got to kill the volume on our stupid computer here if I can figure out where it is. We'll figure it out. But anyway, let me X this out here for a moment. There we go. Hate it when I've got all this technology around me. I don't even know which is giving me the sound. Sorry about that, Ed. Anyway, so we've got all of this stuff going on with China. And you know about Russia amassing troops on the Ukrainian border. What will we do? Then we got China with Taiwan. We got all this stuff going on. Kind of scary, you know?
If anything, Biden's loving it.
You
know why? Yeah, absolutely. You know why?
Why?
Takes focus off of him. I'm serious. Well,
yeah. It's going to put the focus back on him if we don't. If that occurs,
it takes the focus off him. He can now denounce Russia. He's already denounced China because we've got the Olympics coming up in less than 2 months.
Oh yeah, true. Yeah.
So he's given them a diplomatic boycott. I don't know what that means. It's called a diplomatic boycott. So
that's scary.
So now he's going to shake his finger at Russia and shake his finger at China,
yeah.
And that'll take the pressure off of him.
Yeah.
Anything.
I mean, if I was China or Russia, and I wanted to have the most confidence that if I was going to attack Taiwan or attack the Ukraine, that the United States wouldn't do anything, I think I'd want Biden as president. That's my feeling. So we got the proprietor of the barber pole with us, Andrew. I don't know if you've been following all of this. That's going on there. I know you don't think much of Biden, but are we in a very dangerous situation with both China and Russia right now with Biden?
Talking about China setting up. You know how that came about, don't you? How
did it come about?
I was reading about it last week, and apparently they owed China money because they borrowed money from them. And China took this air force, this airport, as collateral on their loan, and they never paid the loan back.
Really?
So China took it over. Yes, sir. And you know what? They're probably going to do the same thing with the United States. Look at the money we owe them.
That's true. They are one of the biggest holders of our debt. And I don't know. That's the thing. On the one hand, I worry about it. On the other hand, I think, well, they don't want to go to war with us because we owe them so much money. You know, they won't get paid back.
Yeah, who's going to buy their merchandise?
And that's another reason.
Like I told you before, my fourth grade social studies class, the strength of the United States was based on its ability to produce. Well, you know what? The strength of China is based on its ability to produce. And you know what? They're the biggest producers in the world, so that ought to tell you how powerful they are.
Hey, I want, on another topic, this just crossed the wire here. New York's Mayor de Blasio, your buddy, the mayor of New York City, has issued a preemptive strike mandating that all private sector employees in New York City be vaccinated beginning December 27th. Now, do you think all private sector employees are going to be vaccinated because he says so?
Well, he's only got 3 days left after
that. That's another thing. His term is set to expire in a matter of weeks.
Who cares? He got 24 days, I think.
So he's just going to come out with this mandate and take off?
He needs a mandate.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess I do. Okay. I don't want to go there, though.
The guy is a fool. Nobody cares what he says, and nobody's going to follow it.
Yeah.
He's a moron.
Okay. We can kind of dismiss the whole thing here. I also was looking at, there is a freedom poll, and in fact, I'll have to do a top 10 on it, that the Cato Institute comes out with. It ranks all the states in terms of economic and personal freedoms. Florida is ranked number 2.
Well, who could be above us?
You know, I don't know. I haven't seen the poll, but I did notice that Florida was ranked 2nd. That's what it said in the article.
In the fake poll, it'll be New York.
Do we have Angelo with us, too?
Yeah.
Oh, Angel, I am so sorry. I didn't. I'm having a bad morning. I've got noises coming out of the computer, and I missed out. Angelo and Andrew were here. Angelo, I should have been asking you this question about Mayor de Blasio and this mandate that all private sector workers get the shot. What do you think?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Ah, I mean, you don't think all these people that work in New York are rushing out, finding the wherever they can find that vaccine?
Not really.
Okay. All right. What a mess that is.
And he wants to run for governor besides.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Why? Doesn't he realize he's not going to win anything like that?
No.
I mean, even in New York, they're not that dumb, are they?
No. They're dumb that they voted for Biden, but...
Yeah.
That was downstate. New York City's the one that always gets the Democrats. Not upstate.
Mm-hmm.
You don't tell me not upstate, because every time I go up there, even your friends are Democrats. I had to leave a table with them one day when I went to breakfast room. I couldn't even talk to them. There's more Democrats in Rochester than anywhere
rude.
In the country.
You were rude. What happened to your bipartisanship?
You know, you got to keep, especially when you're eating a meal, you don't want to get into an argument over politics. It makes it hard to digest, you know?
That's why I don't go anywhere with liberals.
I don't blame you on that one. Here's one that I'd like to, this is out of San Francisco, where everything is going wrong. San Francisco, their supervisors have unanimously approved an ordinance that will suspend the tax on marijuana. You know, they allow marijuana sales, and they regulate it, right? But they are still undercut by the street market because they've got a tax. Now they want to take the tax out because they want to be more competitive with the guys that are pushing the dope in the private sector. What's going on? I just wanted to get a thought on this.
Listen, we got problems in this country really bad. When you go to a restaurant today and you want chicken wings and they have price market value.
You know how much they are now? They're over a dollar a wing in some places.
That's what I'm saying.
Really?
Market value for chicken wings? Give me a break. We got problems.
We do. I got an order of 10 chicken wings. It was $11, not including the tax. $11 for 10 wings.
You got to wait cheap. They're $15 everywhere
it's
else.
Terrible.
Where'd you go?
I tell you what, it's terrible. Well, actually, I ordered from one of those pizza places. But still.
I'm going to have to put my Biden stickers that says, I did that, next to the chicken wing column on the menus.
So, how many states, I wonder, if the presidential election was held in this kind of an environment, how many states do you think would vote for, let's say Trump was running against Biden, just as for the sake of argument, how many states would vote for Biden? Don't you think most
of them? New York and California.
New York, California, that would be two.
That's it.
And that would be it. What do you think, Angelo?
Oh, yeah, just California and New York, without a doubt.
Okay. Everybody else, even Massachusetts, might vote for Trump.
They might vote for Biden. You know, you're seeing Democratic strongholds. They never, ever learn. That base will vote for Alfred E. Newman. Remember the guy in Mad Magazine?
I sure do. Good old Alfred.
Alfred E. Newman, if he was running.
That's true. Go to Alfred E. Newman. He could probably run for the mayoralty of New York. So what else is going on these days? Let me ask you, Andrew, here in Florida, any news of local interest these days that you might want to talk about?
And, Paul, you know what? Everything is kind of calm in Florida right now.
Yeah, as we approach Christmas.
I mean, yesterday I was out. I had to travel to Wesley Chapel.
Okay.
All kinds of out-of-state license plates. And you know what amazed me? Have you ever been down 54 lately heading toward Wesley Chapel?
No, I haven't.
But the building, Paul, is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many apartment complexes going up right on 54. It looks like an army base.
Just to satisfy the demand.
I've never seen anything like it, Paul.
Yeah.
Never. You need to take a ride one day. You'll be really surprised.
Well, and it comes with the freedom that we have in this state to some extent. Like I said about that Cato poll, you know, the personal freedom.
Definitely. There's no question about
People want to come to a place that they feel like they can, you know, feel the freedom, I guess you might say, and less taxes and all the good things.
You know, Paul, I really got to give a lot of credit to Ron DeSantis. It's like I told you, I've known his family for 35 years. I've known the kid since he was six. And I just don't believe the job he has done, Paul. In the history that I've lived here, this guy is the number one governor from what I've ever seen. It's amazing to me.
Yeah, I think he is doing a very good job, too.
And it's like his father says one thing. My son is doing nothing but using common sense.
Boy, do we need more of that across the country.
Yeah, boy, do we need it. Look at how it's working here, Paul.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Angelo, any thoughts at all about, as we approach Christmas in general, do you think, are we going into a kind of a depressing Christmas season with the prices and with Biden and with everything else, or how do you feel about it?
Well, we got to take a look at the misery index. Were you better off before, or are you better off now?
Yeah, the old Ronald Reagan question.
That's right.
Yeah,
and I think the American people would have to say we were better off before.
Yeah,
gasoline, food prices, supply chain, everything is a mess right now.
It is.
They talk about sabers being rattling all the time between China, Russia, the United States, you know?
Yes. Yeah, it is. It's kind of a scary time. It really is.
What else? When you were talking about the Army earlier, our military, look what Trump was doing for our military. He was bringing it back. It was getting respect again.
Yeah.
When we got people like Miley Mouse as a general, okay, and the other one that's in charge of the Pentagon is disgusting, Paul. Mm-hmm. They want to woke our military, and you know what? They better not woke them too much because there's 170,000 troops on the Ukraine. China's got their military bases in the middle of the South China Sea. They've been building out of nothing, and we're depleting our military and trying to make it woke.
Yeah. Hey, any final thoughts on Bob Dole, either one of you? Angelo, he passed away at the age of 98. Don't see many people like him anymore. Of course, he was in World War II, as you know. What do you think?
I think he was one of the great Americans. I think he was a war hero and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And not just him, but I think anybody that served in World War II is a hero.
They're absolutely.
Our country and the world, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Andrew, what do you think? Any thoughts about Bob Dole?
Bob Dole, he was a military hero. And you know what? As far as I'm concerned, there was only two great generals since I've been around.
Mm-hmm.
General Patton was one of them, and General Schwarzkopf was another.
Oh, yes. General Schwarzkopf was serving during the term of Ronald Reagan, I believe.
That's right.
Yeah.
What about Omar Bradley, Eisenhower?
Well, Bradley and Patton.
That wasn't my time.
Bradley and Patton, yeah, they were both under General Eisenhower.
Different world today, Paul. It's all politically run. They're depleting our military, and you know what? If anything happens, we're screwed.
Well, we're about to we're on the eve of the 80th anniversary of Pearl Harbor and the start of World War II, as far as the United States was concerned. It takes place tomorrow. We'll be doing our show on Wednesday, so I just wanted to make note of that. But guys, thank you so very much. Always a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you. Paul, have a good day, buddy.
All right, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay, Angelo.
Thank you.
There they go, Angelo and Andrew. Let's take our break. The sound is better in here. I don't hear any sound, except myself. So we'll take our break. And when we come back, among other things, the compact of married couples with children in the house reaching an all-time low. We're going to take a look at it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for our final section, Freedom Works. And by the way, we are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Delighted you can join us. If indeed you can't hear the show live, thanks to Big Ed, you can listen to our program from our website on podcast. Just go to ourfreedomworks.com, click on the podcast button. You'll see all of our shows, most recent, on back, and away you go, ourfreedomworks.com. Well, the number of U.S. homes with a married couple and kids, you know what it's fallen to? It's fallen to a record low, 17.8%. 17.8%. Now, that's very, very distressing. This is according to new government data. As the pandemic further delayed weddings, and more adults don't plan to have kids at all. It says the share of the U.S.'s 130 million households headed by married parents with children under age 18 has fallen to 17.8% in 2021. In 1970, it was better than 40% more than that. So there you go. I mean, the nuclear family itself, it's kind of a scary situation, kind of sad. Before we get to our top 10, Ed, which is the sports top 10, I was watching our beloved Bucks yesterday. They went to, was it Atlanta? Mm-hmm. They looked pretty good. What do you think?
A little sluggish in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady threw a pick six just before halftime. Got everybody a little riled up.
But their record's looking good, isn't it?
9-3. They should probably wrap up the NFC South division probably within the next couple of weeks. It could be next week.
Yeah.
As soon as next week.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's fun watching them.
The story of the day yesterday was that a friend of mine, we were at a local place watching the game, that the last game on from the 1 o'clock game was the Detroit Lions against the Minnesota Vikings.
Yep.
And it seemed everybody, because Detroit was maybe going to get its first win, gave it away, and then had a chance to win it with a minute and a half left, drove down the field. Everybody was waiting and waiting. And the last play, the last second of the game, throws the touchdown and the Detroit Lions win, and the bar just erupts.
Yeah. And it's their first
everybody
win.
Everybody was just
since,
so happy.
It's their first win since, like, deep behind last year.
Yeah,
right?
Almost this time last year was the last time they won. So for them to get off tonight. And they've been close. It's been heartbreaking. And the great thing is after the game, they gave the game balls to the victims of the school shootings.
Oh, they did.
From last week.
Good for them. Yeah. All right.
They called out the name of the kids that were killed, and they gave each one of their family a game ball.
Well, Detroit. I'm glad Detroit won. So. All right. We've got our top 10, and this is a little complicated, but it's the top 10 highest earning sports for athletes. In other words, if you wanted to make a lot of money, what is the best sport to go into, okay? And it comes from Forbes magazine, which did a data run on all of this. And they took the 100 highest paid athletes in all the different sports, the 100 highest paid, broke it down to find out which sports were giving per athlete the highest amount. So here we go. Number 10, would you believe motorcycle racing is number 10?
Wow.
Yeah, in fact, $238 million is the amount that you can get. I'm not sure where, how that number is figured out.
Well, motocross has been around for years.
Yeah, it has been. Yeah. I didn't know it was
racing,
so popular.
Jumping, all those things they do.
Indeed. Okay, number 9. Do you think you could make money in mixed martial arts? Apparently you can, at least a couple of people. When they ran this thing, there was $430 million to go around for the top people in that sport.
I think we're talking about the UFC.
Mixed martial arts are exploding.
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Number eight, and it surprises me it's this low, it's football.
American football?
Yeah. Wow. Now, it's still high. I mean, with 9 of the top 100 paid athletes, 9 of them are in the NFL.
Yeah.
And the amount here for the total of the top is $1.9 billion. So there is a lot of money among the top paid people. Mm-hmm. I would imagine our buddy here, the quarterbacks, the Bucks, is one of them. All right, number 7. Number 7 best sport to get paid in is tennis. $2.69 billion. There are 7 of the top 100 athletes in
tennis.
I think
they have so many tournaments.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pretty good prize money in there, too.
There is excellent prize money in it. Yeah, indeed. Number 6, car racing, as opposed to motorcycle racing.
Yeah.
Car racing, $2.98 billion. 9 people that are making a hell of a lot of money of the top 100. 9 people are in car racing. Number 5, boxing. Boxing.
Wow.
$2.902 billion. There are 9 of the top 100 highest paid athletes in boxing. Number 4, baseball has been very, very good to me.
Yeah.
$3.07 billion, 17 athletes.
We had one guy just signed 10 years, $325
million. Yeah, amazing. Wow. Number 3, golf. Mm-hmm. Top people in golf, $3.31 billion. 6 of the top 100 are golfers. Number 2, soccer. 11 of the top 100, $3.97 billion. What do you think's number 1?
I thought it was going to be soccer. Tell you the truth.
I could have been.
I don't know.
Basketball.
Oh,
basketball.
I'm not figuring that out.
28 of the top 100 highest paid athletes are in basketball. $8.135 billion.
Wow.
Basketball is the sport. All right. Thank you so very much. We will be back on Wednesday. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM.